Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Osage, and good to see everyone here today on this very cold morning. I'm going to ask you to stand if it's convenient. We're going to do a song we did last week, Here as in Heaven. The atmosphere is changing now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. Spirit of the Lord is here.
Morning, Osage.
Morning.
Hey, we may be short on number this morning, but if I read the book right, where two or more are gathered in His name, He will be there also. All right, so He is here, and we need to praise Him and just love Him today. So any announcements need to be made this morning that hadn't caught up with me? No? All right, let me lead us in a word of prayer. Grace Heavenly Father, we just thank You so much that we can come into Your house, Lord, and just be here and sing praises to You. Lord, we just ask You speak to us in a mighty way today. Lord, as we studied this morning in Sunday school, these sufferings and trials that we're going through these days, Lord, that we see the inheritance that You are putting up for us. That, Lord, that we see the end prize. Lord, we know You win. We know You conquer all. Lord, we just lift everything up to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Be seated for just a minute. First Sunday of the month. You all know what that means. Birthdays and anniversaries. If you're having a birthday in February, please stand and come on down so we can sing happy birthday to you. All right. Sing an old hymn called When We All Get to Heaven.
Thank you.
Should I fear? The evidence is here. Why should I fear? Oh, the evidence is here. The song's called Evidence. All throughout my history, I'm
Card from a family to the church that asked for me to read. Because of your generosity with time, labor, and resources, you've made a way for us to take in Kiana's younger sister so that they can be together again. We look forward to the opportunity to minister to these girls and our family for a lifetime. God knew we needed you all, and we still do. We love you all so much. Love the Hammonds. And thanks for the guys that went over and did the labor on that addition for those folks. That's great. We're if you're a deacon, you should have already got the message, but we're going to meet tonight at 5 o'clock before business session at 6, and we'd love to have you here for a business meeting. We're going to have pizza, and you don't need to bring anything. We're taking care of that, so we'd like for you to be here at 6 for that business session, and everyone is invited. We'll have us big time and some good fellowship, and so be here for that. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Hebrews. Oh, yeah. You know, I hadn't been doing this very long. But if you're involved in children's church, you go ahead and take charge now if you're Indians. Don't have any Indians. Or they already left. They already left. Well, what good am I? Well, I'll take a stab at it. All right. Hebrews 4. And verse 12, let's stand together as we give reverence to the reading of God's precious and holy word. We've got a lot of folks that are not here today, some of it because of sickness, COVID in some of the families, and I know Todd is still recovering from his oblation procedure, and so we'll keep those families lifted up. The importance of the Word of God. I can't give this what it needs. It is so, so important. So important. For the Word of God is quick. Now that's what the King James says. The word literally means it's alive. The Word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. You may be seated. I believe, and this is not new because you've heard me say it before, but I believe that there is a movement going in the, I'm trying to find Deuteronomy 6, and that's where you'll need to be next. There is a movement, I believe, that has... it's taken a little while. I think that it's very strong right now in churches, a move away from the Word of God. Now, I don't know what folks are preaching because I hardly ever go anywhere else. I'm here. I go to the state meetings, and I don't see it in those meetings, but in churches all over the United States, perhaps all over the world, there has been this movement away from the Word of God. I remember having a discussion a few months ago with a gentleman And the church was not preaching on a homosexuality, the wrong of it, the where the Bible teaches that it's wrong. And I said, what do you do with Romans 2? You just tear that out of your Bible? And his answer to me was, we just have to agree to disagree. And so this week I've had Tim doing a little research for me, and he's been sending me some stuff about churches that are not preaching the whole counsel of God. In controversial issues, 95% of the pastors surveyed in larger churches said that they did not preach on controversial issues in their church, even though they knew that the Bible taught in those areas. So there's been this moving away, and it's been happening for some time, and I want us to move the other direction. I want us to move deeper into the Word of God. I want us to absolutely teach the whole counsel of God and everything that the Word of God teaches. Let me give you an example that I tried out on my grandkids yesterday. Among young people. So we had at our table, we had 16-year-old down to 9-year-old. Is that right, Gwen? 16-year-old down to 9-year-old kids that go to church all the time. Heavily involved in church. And I asked the question, who knows who the quarterback is for the Kansas City Chiefs? They knew. And not all of them, I don't think. Not maybe Annabelle might not have known, but all the rest of them knew. I said, okay, I got another question for you. Where did Jonah go and preach when he got out of the fish's belly? They didn't know. Does your kids know? Does your kids know? That's a Bible story that is older than me. That is a Bible story that I started to ask something about the book of Habakkuk, but I thought that's going too far. Now, my point is that there's doctrinal issues in the Bible that we need to be teaching to our young people. This is our opportunity to set it before them, to teach them the Word of God. That's the reason that I believe that Sunday school is so very, very important. If you have a child in Sunday school or in children's church or whatever, and you're not teaching the whole counsel of God to them, you're failing that child in a desperate way. And if you have children in your home and you are not taking the responsibility to teach the whole counsel of God to them, you're failing. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, look down at verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Now, you know what the word diligent means, don't you? I mean, be careful about that. To give it all your energy. Be diligent in that. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and thou shalt walkest, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Four ways to teach the Word of God to our children. Verse 7 says, teach them diligently unto thy children. Talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. Well, if we're going to do that, it's going to cut in on screen time. If we're going to do it, it's going to cut in on screen time. But I'm telling you, there is something that is more important in life than games on a computer. We are in dangerous times. And we're to be teaching our children to take a stand for what is right. When thou walkest by the way, now everywhere they went, they walked. They didn't have any automobiles. They didn't ride a donkey or a horse or travel in a cart. They walked. So when you travel by the way, you teach the Word of God to your children. What an opportunity when you take a trip and the kids are in the car, truck, or whatever, that we have an opportunity to teach them the Word of God as we travel. Just bring up a Bible story. Ask questions. Allow them to ask questions as we travel along the way. Then it says, when thou liest down at bedtime, teach them the Word of God. I think I might have said this already, but I was amazed at the last little group of kids that we had in our house. And Gwen does a great job. She has a Bible story Bible, and this last group we had they'd been to church some. It actually kind of surprised me how much they knew about the Bible, and no more than they had been, but they knew quite a bit about the Bible. But Gwen would read them a Bible story every night out of her Bible story book, and then they'd pray together every evening on the couch before they went to bed. And we had them 9 days. Or was it 2 years and 9 days? No, it was 9 days. It was 9 days. We were supposed to have kept them a week. We ended up keeping them 9 days. But during those 9 days, it amazed me that those kids were anxious for that time. Every evening before they went to bed, they were anxious. Man, they would get up on that couch and snuggle up to Gwen. They was ready for that Bible story. They wanted to hear it. Well, the little boy was 9 years old, and he would get that book, he would get that Bible story book and read it during the day. And just was eating that up, just eating those stories up. We talked about the Bible when we would sit down to supper together. When thou liest down, when thou risest up at breakfast. Now, I don't think that you have to have a class on theology every morning before they go to school. I don't think that's necessary if it's not but one verse. A proverb for the day, that you are reading. That's going to cost you. You have to give to missions when your phone goes off during church. The pastor's wife's fooling with her phone. She's trying to get it turned off. I better be. At breakfast time, when thou risest up. And then it goes on to say that the Word of God is everywhere you look. Is this what your house is like? Is the Word of God everywhere you look in your house? Is the Word of God on the walls? All around the kitchen, everywhere you'd look, you see the Word of God. We are very blessed at our house getting to be pastor. Folks bring us the Word of God in different forms on posters or on pictures or on wall plaques. And so we've been very blessed to be able to have that all about our house everywhere you look. And if you come and visit us, and you're welcome to, and you go into our bedrooms and into the living room, wherever you look, you're going to see the Word of God. And I'm not responsible for that. My wife is, but more than that, many of you are responsible for it because you've brought us things that has the Word of God on it. Secondly, when we get back to Hebrews, the Word of God is alive, is what Hebrews 4:12 says. There is nothing to compare to it. It is alive. It operates like the surgeon's scalpel. It divides asunder, the Bible says here, of the soul and the spirit. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It's not just any book. It's a book that is alive. It is the Word of God. It is that you and I are to depend on and to live for and to just live with the Word of God in our heart and in our hands and a part of our life. Every move that we make, it's to be a part of our life. Look with me over 2 Timothy. Paul was writing his letter to Timothy, and the second one that he writes, he is giving encouragement to this young preacher in the fourth chapter. I'll get to it here after a while. The fourth chapter, and look down at verse 2. And he says, preach. The word there, when the verse starts, is preach. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean to preach? Well, if you were to look that up in a dictionary of some kind, it would mean to make a proclamation, to proclaim something. Preach the word. Well, what word is he talking about? He's talking about the entire Bible. Now, at this time, the New Testament wasn't part of it. He was talking about the Old Testament. He's talking about preaching everything that all of the counsel of God, all of the Bible teaches. And we make a tragic mistake whenever we just settle on the New Testament. Now, it's good and it's great, but all of the Bible is the inspired truth of God's Word. All of it is. And so all of it is important in our lives. We don't cancel out any of it. And so here he says, preach the Word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. And then he uses the word doctrine. To teach doctrine. If pastors fail to preach the whole counsel of God, the church becomes liberal. I don't think that the church becomes liberal and then they get away from the Bible. I think they get away from the Bible and then the church becomes liberal. The pastor stops preaching the whole counsel of God, and then people start listening to the wrong ideas. Preach the Word, Paul told Timothy, and to be instant in season and out of season. And then in verse 3, he says, for the time will come. And I'm here to tell you that the time has come. We're in the time. It's not that it's going to be out there in the future somewhere. We are in the time. Look around you. We are in the time. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Could it be any plainer? But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. This is not just my idea. It's what the Bible says is going to happen. And it's happening. All around us, it is happening. But watch thou in all things. Endure affliction. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. And then finally, this Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. I don't believe it's possible for you or me to have an ongoing quiet time every day of our life, a time to spend with God and His Word, and be involved in sin in our life at the same time. Now, I understand we're sinners. I understand that, and that we sin. But I'm talking about that our lives are involved in some kind of sin that's keeping us from the ministry of God. Some kind of sin that's going to destroy us. Some kind of sin that's going to destroy our families. And so it is so important. I don't know how to express it. That is so important that we read and study the Word of God. I think for those that have an ongoing Bible study, that have an ongoing relationship with God, I won't have to jack them up about coming to church. David Miller used to tell a story about a pitcher pump Christian. And he said, you know what a pitcher pump Christian is, don't you? Pitcher pump Christian is one of these that, like an old pitcher pump. And our neighbors had one. They were modern. We drawed ours with a bucket and a chain out of the cistern. But they had a handle on a pump. You could run that handle up and down, and it'd bring water to the top of the ground. Well, there's something about that pitcher pump that was unique. David said that before you can get anything out of it, you've got to prime it. You've got to prime it before you can get anything out of it. You've got to have some water to pour down in it to get it started pumping. And so you pour this water down the throat of that old pump and start pumping that handle up and down, and pretty soon it's gushing out the mouth of the pump. And he says that all pitcher pump Christians are alike. That the only way that you can get anything out of them is to prime them. And then, in order to keep them coming, you got to keep pumping them. Well, I want you to know that wires a pastor out. Just pumping and pumping and pumping, trying to keep folks coming. There should be no reason. I'm going to get up on stump just a little bit here. But I'm telling you, folks been out of shape because people are not calling them and checking on them because they're not in church. I want you to know, dear friend, that I figure if you can go to Walmart, you can come to church. If you can get up every day and go to your job, you can come to church. And somebody shouldn't have to pump you and prime you to get you here if you've got any relationship with God at all. You ought to be here. This COVID's killing us. And people are using it for an excuse not to come. If you've got the COVID, stay at the house. We want you to. But you don't need to stay at the house 3 months later. I'm not going to charge you anything for that. Look with me over to the book of Psalms and look at Psalms 119. Tommy Keeling would say, up there in them big numbers. 119 and verse 11. If you don't believe that this word will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this word, you read this verse and memorize it in your life, because this is exactly what this verse says. Psalms 119 and verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. In the book of Proverbs, if you study the book of Proverbs, and we're in the middle of that on Wednesday night, the book of Proverbs, you see over and over the warning that the Word of God gives about where a man's eyes are supposed to be and where his heart's supposed to be, and that he is to get all of his fulfillment out of his wife. And how dangerous it is for his eyes to look at anyone else. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And if you travel on down that chapter and you get to verse 105, I think it is. 105, that's way on down. That's a bunch of verses, isn't it? 105. And here the psalmist said, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, You and I are accustomed to strong, powerful lights. Flashlights that are strong. Headlights on cars that are strong and can reach out into the night. This was more like a candle. This was like an oil lamp. This is something very small. Something that only can give enough light for the next step. And you're holding this in your hand and you're guarding it, and it gives you enough light for the next step. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a foot lamp, something that'll give me enough light to take the next step, and a light unto my path to show me where the path is. How easy it is to get off the path if we do not know the word. How easy it is for our children to get off the path if they do not know the word. Let's stand together.